Welcome back to Issues Etc. For the last 10 minutes of this first hour on this Tuesday, October the 7th, we're going to talk about 18th century Lutheran Pastor Henry Melchior Muhlenberg. He's got a mouthful of a name, doesn't he? Well, the Muhlenberg name is kind of famous among American Lutherans. We'll be talking about him and perhaps of his progeny as well. Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest, past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, welcome back.
Good to be here.
First of all, thank you very much for being in attendance for my installation at Trinity on Sunday night. It was very good to see you again.
It was fun. It was really a blessed occasion.
Okay, we were told stories about some Muhlenberg who either during the Revolutionary War or the Civil War, it was, I can't remember well because I remember so little from the seminary, threw off his liturgical vestments to reveal an army uniform and then led part of the men of his congregation out as a makeshift battle unit to engage in whatever war they were fighting at the time in the United States. Which of the Muhlenbergs was this?
Yeah, that was John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, who was the son of Henry Melchior Muhlenberg. And John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg became one of General Washington's most trusted brigadier generals. So he definitely, that story is true. You just have to get father and son straight. And the guy that's most famous in Lutheran history is his father. That's Henry, who helped start the Pennsylvania Ministerium.
Okay, let's talk about, we're talking about really early American Lutheranism, not the stripe from which you and I hail, which would be kind of mid-American history Lutheranism. We're talking about the very first, among the very first, to set foot in the New World. Take us there.
In 1742, Henry Melchior Muhlenberg arrived in Pennsylvania. He was sent by the institution at Halle, even by August Franke himself, which was the center of Pietism in Germany. And Melchior Muhlenberg had a very specific call, and that was to serve the United Congregations in Pennsylvania. Those congregations, in other words, that serve both Lutheran and Reformed. And he started that, and he was really turned out to be a pretty effective diplomat and organizer. And by 1748, he'd helped start the Pennsylvania Ministerium, which was the first of the church bodies in North America. And this was all, of course, before the Revolutionary War.
Was he a Pietist himself?
That's difficult for me to say with any accuracy. As far as I can tell, he was. There is a number of things that you can see in his writings. And a recent article in Lutheran Quarterly, which is a more of an academic-type journal, showed how Muhlenberg got into a dispute with a layman of his congregation. And the layman was saying that his church in Philadelphia should be organized and run according to the Book of Concord. And Muhlenberg, although he claimed to be Lutheran, got into a fight over that. He said, no, we don't want to be tied up by this book. And eventually the baker, a simple layman, was excommunicated by the elders. So you would have to say this would be difficult for a confessional Lutheran pastor to do to a layman. I think it's evidence that he was of the type of Lutherans that they had a warm appreciation for Martin Luther, but didn't want to be held down too tightly to traditional Lutheran doctrine as found in the Lutheran confessions.
So really not unlike many Lutherans across denominational boundaries today.
Well, that's right. And so the term that historians have used of Henry Melchior Muhlenberg is that he is the patriarch of the Lutheran Church in America. And that's a fair enough title. Not only did he help start the first church body, but his approach, which was kind of ecumenical and both Lutheran and Reformed, and not being too held too tightly to the Lutheran confessions, that has been the dominant mode of those churches that ended up in the ELCA today.
You talked about the Pennsylvania Ministerium, and you talked about how Muhlenberg was charged with the task of serving both Lutherans and the Reformed. Of course, back in Germany, that was already kind of a marriage made by the leaders there in the German lands. In America, why were they still this confusion between Lutheran and Reformed?
Well, in the 18th century, this was pretty much the dominant thing in most of the territories that were sending immigrants over to America. The proximity of Reformed and Lutheran was made official already as early as about 1600 in Prussia. And by 1700, any of the states of Germany that were under the sway of Prussia, including the Palatinate, had this kind of cohabitation of Lutheran and Reformed. Those territories or churches that said, we want to just be Lutheran, they were in a minority. And so just by sheer numbers of immigrants, that was kind of the approach up until the Missouri Synod Forefathers came in about 1830.
So not to use anachronistic terms here, but we're really talking about the very roots of liberal Lutheran, American Lutheranism, very, very early in the American experience.
That's correct. And people that have maybe have read Kurt Marquardt's Anatomy of an Explosion, which tried to explain what the Missouri Synod went through in the 1960s and 70s, Kurt goes back to the ecumenical movement correctly in saying this prepares the ground for liberal Protestantism. And he did that, Kurt did that for the 20th century, but you can also go back to the 17th and 18th and 19th centuries and see the very same thing, and Muhlenberg is part of that.
Is this why, as a historian, do you think this goes some way toward explaining why the more or less kind of popular view of Lutheranism in America is of a predominantly compromised, generically Protestant, and liberal bent?
Yeah, and it's not only because of the long duration, but also the fact that this was, it's pretty much what historians call East Coast Lutheranism. So the state of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, those states right in the, or the middle Atlantic states, have a large number of Lutherans, and they're all pretty much out of this type. And it's very difficult for Missouri Lutherans that live in that neighborhood to try to gain any sort of notice, simply because the others are so numerous. And they come out of the this more pietistic, unionistic type of approach.
What then was the Pennsylvania Ministerium?
It was the first of, as I said, the first of the church bodies of Lutherans in America. It eventually helped start several institutions, including Gettysburg Seminary and Gettysburg College, which, of course, were right in the thick of things in the Civil War battle at Gettysburg. And that became the center of the General Synod, which was the first intrastate Lutheran church body in the United States, which founded about 1820 or so. And this was the background which the immigrants, Walther and Winnikin and those folks, when they came here, they found that the General Synod and its way of doing things was the dominant Lutheran way.
So to a certain degree, with only about a minute here, we're really kind of looking at the checkered past of American Lutheranism when we gaze at this character, Pastor Henry Melchior Muhlenberg.
Well, from our perspective, it's a checkered past. From their perspective, it's what you had to do to survive on the American frontier, because Lutherans were a minority and a suspect minority, because Germans were definitely a very small minority in population until the middle of the 19th century. So they weren't necessarily welcomed, and so in order to integrate and to be, I mean, you had to cooperate with the farmers and everybody else, or, you know, you got left behind. That was the sort of thinking that said, well, this is okay. But it goes on generation after generation, and eventually the unique voice of Lutheranism was lost or muted. And in fact, it got so bad with the definite synodical platform just before the Missouri Synod showed up that they were pretty much revoking the Augsburg Confession.
Rewriting it, in fact.
Dr.
Martin Nolan is past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, good to see you again this weekend, and thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks for inviting me.
Let history be our teacher. It's not as though we haven't seen these things before. especially to those of the Lutheran stream of the Reformation. It's not as though we haven't walked this path once before, and we know exactly where it heads. It goes from something like a simple pietism, a unionism between two different streams of the Reformation that, whose theologies are in many points incompatible with one another. And then sooner or later, you have church bodies that institutionalize this. And a couple generations later, you have larger general synods that make it even more institutional. And then finally, what do you end up with? Well, about 150 years ago, the theological descendants of people like Pastor Henry Melchior Muhlenberg were rewriting the Augsburg Confession. They were resending it, in fact. They were writing an American recension. And what did they leave out? Baptismal regeneration, real presence of the Lord's body in the Lord's Supper, absolution, and all sorts of other things. They had accommodated themselves to the American experience, and their descendants were poorer for it. Let's learn from history. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.